Join 7-9 of the Tickets, Jonathan Zaslow, this Saturday at 8 o'clock for Dos Equis College Football Watch Party at Cadillac Ranch in Kendall. Register to win a trip to the college football semifinal playoff game at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. Enjoy Dos Equis specials, and we'll be raffling off a 60-gallon Igloo cooler. That's 8 o'clock tomorrow night for Dos Equis College Football Watch Party at Cadillac Ranch with Zaz and the Ticket. Welcome back here to 7-9 of the Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber on this Football Friday, which is brought to you by Yingling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yingling, spread your wings. Hoopsville, Pennsylvania, please drink responsibly. We've got Jennifer with us as well. We're taking up another couple of hours till 2 o'clock before we turn things over to Hawk and Crowder. So much to talk about as had a Thursday night football game last night. Certainly big matchups in college football and the NFL this weekend. Before we get to any of that, Brian, though, let's get to our 12 o'clock edition of Headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
We'll start on the gridiron, where the Josh Rosen era in Miami will officially begin on Sunday, as according to multiple reports, the Dolphins will start the second-year quarterback in the team's Week 3 matchup with the Cowboys. Ryan Fitzpatrick started the first two contests of the season, with the offense mustering just 10 total points. We are anticipating a press conference from Brian Flores to confirm this in a little bit. The Dolphins also announced they've claimed defensive end Taco Charlton off of waivers from the Cowboys and waived offensive lineman Brian Witzman. Kickoff between Miami and Dallas is 1 o'clock on Sunday, and you can hear the game on our sister station, 560 The Joe, WQAM. On Thursday Night Football, the Jaguars earned their first win of the season, taking down the Titans 20-7. Jacksonville's defense sacked Marcus Mariota 9 times, and rookie Gardner Minshew threw 2 touchdowns in the victory. From the pros to college, where the Miami Hurricanes host Central Michigan tomorrow, looking to improve to 2-2 on the year. You can hear the game on 560 The Joe, WQAM, with kickoff set for 4 o'clock at Hard Rock Stadium. Finally, on the diamond, the Marlins open up a weekend series against the visiting Nationals. Miami seeking to avoid its 100th loss this season by sending Robert Duggar to the mound. He'll be opposed by former Marlin Anibal Sanchez. First pitch is 7:10 from Marlins Park. And one other note, according to multiple reports, the team will be giving manager Don Mattingly a 2-year contract extension. An official announcement is expected at some point today. Those are your headlines. We're going to talk some Canes football here in a moment, Brian, but I see Jane Slater, who covers, she's on NFL Network, but she largely focuses on the Dallas Cowboys. I guess Jerry Jones did a radio hit this morning, was asked about Taco Charlton's struggle and bad days at practice, and he says, quote, he just wilted. Says a defensive lineman has to, quote, eat a lot of raw meat to be good at the position. Whatever that means.
That's a Texas saying right now.
That does, right? That, I mean, that's like Texas code for he's a wimp or he didn't get the job done.
He's soft.
But, yeah, that's like the Texas – you're right, the Texas way to say it. I don't know. What would be the equivalent of that here in South Florida? I don't know.
He doesn't eat enough croquetas?
Something like that, right?
But I don't know.
But bottom line is, yeah, Taco Charlton, I guess he needs to change his diet.
So I guess he's not a hard taco. He's a soft taco.
Man.
All right. That's the only way I can describe it.
I like that, but that's rough.
Yeah, that is
rough. That's rough for Taco.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He's had 4 sacks as a first-round pick in 2 years, and he was a healthy scratch this year.
Yes.
That's never good.
No. I mean, it's a terrible sign for a former first-round pick. And the point you were making earlier when we were talking about just generally speaking, you know, defensive linemen, the presence like Josh Allen is benefited by Calais Campbell, and then there's that carryover effect to the secondary is benefiting either the pass rush or vice versa. Like with Taco, there's a lot of talent on that Cowboys team.
So DeMarcus Lawrence?
Right, if he can't get on the field and benefit from that, and you know what I mean? Like you would have thought there would have been opportunities for a player like that could be even just a pass rushing specialist, right? Even if he wasn't well-rounded enough, he wasn't developing enough, they could get him on the field and be around that supporting cast and still get something out of him, but wasn't meant to be.
I mean, think about it like this. Former Hurricane got drafted by the Cowboys, Joe Jackson, and already passed him on the depth chart. They said, you know what? We like his versatility. He can do this. He can do that. And Joe was what?
Fifth round pick? Yeah.
And you jumped up over a first round pick like that? Something's wrong. But, hey, if I'm Taco right now, I'm like, yo, listen, just give me 15 plays against the Cowboys this week. Just give me something. I know I'm not going to know the playbook like that, but give me something.
Do you think he's in shape?
He has to be.
Well, I don't know. I only say that because, like, Robert Kendiche, who they got from the Cardinals in a similar
he's
situation.
He's been out.
Like a late first-round pick that didn't work out, defensive lineman. He's in such bad shape. He was still recovering from an injury, but he's in such bad shape. He's not even on the active roster right now. They're, like, getting him ready to go for when he actually gets back in shape. So, Taco, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Perhaps he's in shape, but I just don't know. Like, can he go out there and play? I mean, he hasn't played it all this
season. If you can't give me 15 snaps right now, you don't deserve to be in the NFL. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. You just don't.
You had the whole offseason to train and work, and you knew going into it, hey, we had an open spot on the other side before DeMarcus Lawrence on one side. Who's going to be the guy? That's supposed to be you. So you should have been busting your butt the whole time in training camp, the whole time. And then, yeah, you got the healthy scratch because a younger guy was able to do more in their defensive scheme. Yeah, you got a little upset. You do your thing. You got free. Well, now you're free. So you bit better be able to give 10 to 15 plays. If you don't, you shouldn't even be an NFL player. Straight up. Just like in Kendiche, he shouldn't even be on the roster. But that's a guy that I knew was going to be like that anyways.
Well, the warning signs were there from college.
They were not even just college. Even, like, the whole process of him getting drafted and him getting, like, recruited by agents and stuff like that. I remember a guy that recruited that he was his agent that I knew. And he's like, yo, this guy's going to be a headache. He's like, you know, he gets six dudes come out with him every single time. They want this. They want that. I'm like, ooh. You might see Billy Corbin broke part two.
I hate to laugh at that, but, you know.
You hate to laugh, but you can only give so many of these guys the tools to be successful. If they don't want to take it, there's nothing else you can do. You can't force it to them to say, hey, do this, talk to this vet. Who's his financial advisor? Just talk to him. They'll show you the way. Nah, man, I got this. I'm a millionaire. We cool. Okay. No problem.
Sense of entitlement, man. It's just off the charts. So that's the latest on Taco. We'll let you know if we hear any other comments from Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones about Taco Charlton. Certainly, we're also hoping to hear what Brian Flores has to say today about Taco Charlton. But I do want to talk some Miami Hurricanes. So before we talk about the game, I saw this this week. Manny Diaz revealed that safety Bubba Bolden didn't learn from the NCAA that he wouldn't play in the UF opener until the day before. And he didn't learn he wouldn't play against North Carolina until the day before that game. And so Diaz said it made it particularly, quote-unquote, tough on him. And, you know, I saw Barry Jackson write about this, and he said in the Miami Herald, it's outrageous but not remotely surprising that the NCAA surprised Miami with the decision 24 hours before the opener. UM was given clarity on September 6th that he will be eligible to be beginning with the October 5th Virginia Tech game. So we now know when he will see the field for the first time in a Miami Hurricanes uniform. But I know it shouldn't surprise you or anybody.
It doesn't.
But at the same time, Brian, it's like, what is wrong with this institution that they can't give you, like, at least a week's heads up, right? Like, you don't know on Monday that he's not going to be ready to go Saturday? Like, what is the holdup here? And don't wait until 24 hours before the game. This is just unprofessional on so many different levels.
That's how they've been. They are the worst. They're the most corrupt. They're the most behind. They are the worst institute. I don't even know why we still have NCAA. I really don't. Because they are the worst. And you can see it from all the transfers all around the country going on. One kid moving because his mom is ill and he lives 5 miles outside of deemed their border.
Right.
So he can't play. Oh, because his mom is terminally ill. Oh, great. Thanks a lot, NCAA. Like, but, you know, other quarterbacks get waived and they can make it. But this kid, for some other reason, it does not shock me at all. And everyone's like, oh, we're going to get this answer. I'm like, it's NCAA. We're going to be waiting forever. They don't care. They literally don't care. They want their money, and then they're going to keep it moving. Look at what happened in California with the bill that they were trying to pass to say players can get money from their likeness.
Right.
NCAA. We strongly disagree. You guys should not do this. Blah, 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 blah. This does not shock me at all. I'm just happy that now Bubba Bolden has the clarity to say, I can come back for this game instead of waiting around because – literally, he was waiting up the day before Florida, like, thinking I'm part of the game plan. I'm not. Okay, next week, when can I come back? Now that you finally have the clarity to say, hey, Bubba Bolden's coming back. Great. Nesta's practicing. great. Now you get all your guys there. Let's really see what this defense can do at full strength. And it's perfect because he comes back for the meat of the ACC schedule with VTech coming at home. And we need him because we saw when Amari Carter was out in the North Carolina game, they looked lost a little bit. They just looked lost.
Yeah, the targeting penalty can change a game drastically.
Such a BS call.
At the college level, that's for sure. So I wanted to pass that along. Now, we have a couple of texts that are coming in here. 67974, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Somebody says they think that they're correcting you on this. They say that the NCAA is second worst out there. FIFA is 1,000% worse than the NCAA. Somebody else more corrupt than FIFA, though. Listen, they're both corrupt.
Yeah, I will say this. I'll agree. FIFA is probably the most corrupt because it deals with, I think, higher money. And you're talking about buying World Cups, the whole nine yards and refs. But the magnitude in this country, nothing beats it.
Well, that's the thing. And you can look at it a couple of different ways. FIFA, I agree with you. I mean, you're dealing with, on the whole, a lot more money. It's international. It's you're talking about the biggest sporting event in the world that they're corrupt about. Also, they're dealing with largely professional athletes, though.
Yeah.
So the NCAA, it seems even more cruel with the way they operate because you're talking about a bunch of kids that can't earn money off of their likeness, and they're relying on scholarships. They're relying on the NCAA's just very vague transfer portal rules now and, like, who's eligible, who's not. Yeah, right? Like, there's so much gray area with the way the NCAA operates that – and because you're talking about oftentimes 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids that really, based on the system, aren't allowed to make money in any other way, that's where it really adds up to feeling like the NCAA is as corrupt as it gets.
Yeah, and you look at it and people say, well, but how would you do it equally? And you got Title IX and stuff like that. And I go, listen, I've thought about it. I've had many discussions with former players of mine, everything. And you look at it and say, okay, it might be hard to say, how do we give out money equally to everybody without getting in fights? I said, but the easiest way to do it is to make it fair across all the boards, whether that's female sports, male sports. You can go ahead and get money from your likeness as far as marketing deals,
mm-hmm.
right? So let's just say a kid's not going to make it to NFL because most of these kids won't. But if you come in as a five-star recruit, this is your hometown team, what if like three hometown shops, restaurants want to go ahead and be we want to sponsor you. You're a guy, want to put you in a commercial. Hey, we're going to give you $50,000.
Right.
You know what that goes for some of these kids? You know, like, I get it. Some people come from backgrounds where they don't have to worry about their next meal. Don't have to worry about where they're going to sleep. But I've had teammates that have to worry about those things. And the money that they get, most of the time, just goes back to their family. They don't even keep it. They send it back to feed kids they might have, brothers that they're raising. To say that I can get a sponsorship from, I don't know, a local restaurant that's going to give me an extra $1,000 and all I got to do is come and say hello and they're going to give me meals for my family. I see nothing wrong with that because if there's a female basketball player that is the best and Nike wants to, well, it's going to be harder with the shoe deals and everything like that, but if somebody wants to come in there and say, hey, we want to give you 10 grand and you be the face of our brand, no big deal. Who is the swimmer? Ledecky?
Yeah, Katie Ledecky.
Katie Ledecky from Stanford. She legit had to leave school because she was getting like a, I don't know, 10 million, 15 million deal from a swimwear company or a Speedo or something like that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You could have still been at Stanford, get your money, finish your degree, and call it a day.
And the other part of this is if we want to like dumb it down even more and simplify it, it's like for those who were like, oh, I don't know, it's not going to be fair. It's like if you take, say, the UM football team, for example. Not everybody on that team is going to be a fan favorite.
No.
You know, there's a pecking order there. But if there's an autograph signing that a guy that you can go and show up to for a couple of hours and that place is going to pay you money to be there and people show up, you know, it's all about demand. So, like, if it's the last guy on the roster, no offense to whoever that is, but people aren't probably going to show up. There's not going to be a demand. So that's why the likeness makes sense because there is that hierarchy of who's marketable, who's a better player, and then that seems to make sense where the school doesn't have to be involved. But anyway, I guess there's too much common sense there.
I mean, listen, Jimmy Murphy right now from Miami could go ahead and do an autograph signing, and it's going to be down the block.
That's
right?
True.
Where a kid like that now, he has no shot of going to the NFL. Let's just call it what it is.
Right, so let him take advantage now.
But he could right now set up at All Canes or one of these spots, do an autograph session, get a couple extra grand, No harm, no foul done. Everybody wins.
Yeah, put it towards his medical school bills.
There you go.
Right?
Done.
Yeah. Oh, man. People are fired up on the text line about this. I do want to ask you about the game, though. Central Michigan,
yep.
you know, this is the pair of games in this juncture of the schedule where you anticipate not only the Hurricanes winning, but winning handily. What do you want to see? Are there specific elements from either side of the ball that you're looking for steady improvement in this game based on what we've seen in the first three games of the year?
So I want to see the same exact thing as far as Bethune-Cookman. Okay, I want you to execute your game plan that the coach is going to give you and be flawless, right? So we weren't flawless against Bethune-Cookman. We missed a 4th-and-1, and I feel like this team right now has a problem with short yardage. You know, when they went for it in the next 4th down, they did a little rollout to Brevin Jordan. So we need to identify who can be our fullback, who can be our big back when it comes to short yardage. On defense, I want to see a donut. I want to see zeros across the board. You know, you guys should handle this roster that they have. Yeah, they have some transfer quarterbacks coming in from bigger schools, but as far as quality across the board, you should be able to handle them up front, and your secondary should get a couple turnovers. I want to see 40, 50 points from the offense again, and I want to see the coach open up the playbook a little bit more. You know, last week we saw some design rollouts. We saw some design moving the pockets for Jaron, which I love to see. And then do it a little bit more so VTech has more to go ahead and worry about and study and prepare for this game. Other than that, this should be like a Bethune-Cookman game. This should be a 40-something, 50-something to 0, 7, 10. You know, Wisconsin put, 65-0 on this team. I know we can say we're not Wisconsin, but you should be able to handle them 40-something, 50-something to little.
Well, it's interesting you say that about the offense. There's two lines of thinking there, right? Like Dan Enos could just...
Oh, he's going to pour it on.
But he could keep it generic in a certain degree. So then, like, moving ahead, he's got all these tricks up his sleeve for ACC competition. But you'd like to see them put a lot more out there. And then the upcoming opponents, including Virginia Tech, are like, all right, well, we don't know exactly what we're going to see when we play that game.
Well, you want him to put a little bit more new wrinkles as far as formations. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing Coach Eno does really well is he designs the play to look a certain way and run it a different way. So that defense might be like, okay, this is a formation they've shown 3 times, and they love to run this. And then all of a sudden he adds a new wrinkle, and that's why you want them to, what do they normally do? What are their norms? And then go away from it. That's why I want to see him open it up just a little bit more. So now they have to game plan just a little bit more and think this is what we're going to run out of this formation and do the total opposite. Because if you watch him as an OC when he was at Arkansas, he did that a lot. With the motions, the bunch formations, and the running 12 personnel, 22 personnel, and making it look like something else and throwing a completely different route combination, screen game, the whole nine yards. So that's what I mean when I open the playbook. Like, I don't want you to be like, trick plays and do everything else.
Right.
But I want you to be able to have them study something else, think we're going to run this, and change it up on them.
Makes sense. We'll see. Great opportunity.
It's a great Jaron Williams been playing his butt off. I mean, you see the numbers that he's throwing up right now. I believe he's 73 completion rating.
It's 73.9.
73.9. What is it? 770 yards, 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions?
Correct.
And, you know, there's only 2 other quarterbacks right now in the country, I believe, that have those numbers. And 2 guys that were coached by Dan Enos. It's unbelievable. Tua and Jalen Hurts. And then people say, we did the short passes, but I think it was Manny Navarro that broke it down that says length per pass, him and Tua are right there together. The only difference that those 2 guys have that we don't, and it's crazy to think that Jaron is succeeding the way he is, if you look at their offensive lines and the outside weapons that both of them have,
right,
head and shoulders above Miami right now. So it's unbelievable to me how Jaron is so poised and doing what he's doing right now, because this offensive line compared to those 2 are trash.
Are you telling me that the Dolphins have a long-term plan of tanking for Jaron Williams?
Jaron Williams, baby. The next guy in line. Let's do this. Who's Trevor Lawrence, man? Who's Tua Tagovailoa? It's Jaron time all day.
I love it. There you go. We get to see his development. He gets to stay at the stadium. All right. There you go.
Okay, now, Texters, I wasn't serious about that, so don't text in and be like, you're crazy, Monroe, for Tua and Tarrant. Yeah, I know.
We're already well past the Josh Rosen era. We're already on the Jaron Williams era in the Miami Dolphins uniform. My goodness. Hey, we got much more to get into. Want to talk some more college football, some big matchups this weekend. Stay tuned here on 790 The Ticket. Join Tobin for a Yuengling football watch party at Sports Grill Kendall, 9090 Southwest 97th Avenue on Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. He'll be registering everyone for the chance to win a big screen TV, letting you spin the wheel and giving out prizes again. Tobin at a Yuengling football watch party at Sports Grill Kendall, registering you to win a big screen TV Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Welcome back here to 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber on this Football Friday. If you want to join us, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 67974, 67974. Jennifer is steering the ship for us today on the other side of the glass, as we're going to take you up until 2 o'clock. That's when we'll turn things over to Hawk and Crowder. We've got a big weekend in college football, Brian, and I jotted down a few of the games that I'm intrigued by. And, you know, there's no secret to this, right? You got a, you know, three top 25 matchups. There's another game featuring one top 25 team that caught my eye as well. Let's go in chronological order, because we talked about this a little bit last hour with Nick Costas, at least from a betting standpoint, but not everybody's watching these games and betting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who just are football fans and are watching for a couple of purposes. One, you're just a fan. You like watching a competitive game. You see the rankings. You're like, hey, I got to tune in, see what that's all about. There's also, I'm sure, I know this for a fact, there's a bunch of fans out there of NFL teams that are like, hey, our season isn't worth a you-know-what, so I better watch and see what the prospects look
like. Who the quarterback,
for
guys?
The draft, right?
And it's so funny. I see all the Dolphins, like, writers and the Dolphins, like, dudes that break down film on Twitter. They're like, here are the games you need to watch. Georgia, Alabama, Utah State. I'm like, wow, we're getting that far already, huh?
2 weeks into the season. And yes,
unbelievable.
Yeah, what's the must-watch matchups for college football based on who's projected to go high in the draft?
Exactly.
The Dolphins, as they continue to accumulate draft picks, right? Well, okay, let's go chronologically, and you can point out any games if I don't mention any that caught your attention, Brian, but let's start with the noon games. Number 11, Michigan, at number 13, Wisconsin. Both teams are 2-0. There's so much pressure, it seems like, on the Wolverines and Harbaugh to get to not, you know, the Big Ten championship game, but then also get to the college football playoff, because it's just been so much buzz and hype without any of the payoff so far. They can't beat Ohio State. You know, Urban Meyer's finally gone. But before you get to that point, you got to take care of business on the road against Wisconsin. A Wisconsin team that I feel like, you know, Hurricanes fans, we've seen that act recently. And so we know it's impressive. But generally, I think nationally, Wisconsin is always underrated or not talked about very much because they don't play a very sexy style. They put offensive linemen largely into the in the draft. And it's, you know, it's not like they have a bunch of skill position players. You're like, man, these guys turn to the NFL stars, but they grind. They've got their system, and it works for them. What do you think of this game on Saturday?
I mean, it's a must win for Michigan. There's a coach. If Coach Harbaugh didn't have his name, he would already been fired. You're talking about, I believe he's what, 1-8 against top five, top ten teams since he's been at Michigan. He's only won one game against Michigan State, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, something like that.
Crazy.
So it's something, if you look at every other coach's resume, if you had that, you would already been fired, right? This is a must win, but you're going as an underdog. You're the higher ranked team, but you're now a 3.5-point dog at Wisconsin.
Right.
And you mentioned it. They're going to run it down your throat. They're going to keep on running it down your throat. And for Michigan to have all these studs on defense the last couple of years, when it comes to the big game, they fold.
Right.
Now, you look back at last year when they came in as a favorite against Ohio State, and you're like, oh, man, they got this first rounder, that first rounder. It's going to be over. Michigan's going to do, you know, cut the curse. Then they went and put 63 points on them. The funny thing is that I think I'm going to go Wisconsin in this game. I just don't trust their offensive coordinator right now, as far as they're not on the same path. Shea Patterson and the new offensive coordinator aren't doing what I thought they would. I thought when you brought in the new offensive coordinator that's going to run more of a spread with Shea Patterson, he was going to excel. This is what he did from high school, then at Ole Miss, and they just haven't looked good. They have not looked good at all. So I look for Wisconsin to go ahead and squeak out a winner in this one.
Okay, so you like the Badgers at home.
I think I'm going to take the Badgers at home.
And I wonder if that will be the beginning of the end for the Harbaugh era there. And listen, if you want to get like deep conspiracy theory, because I've heard this now from Dolphins fans, is that if Harbaugh doesn't pan out at Michigan, will this plan with Brian Flores and Chris Greer get blown up because Stephen Ross is like, I've wanted Harbaugh forever. Like, he's been pursuing Jim Harbaugh for the better part of a decade. And that is one thing to monitor, at least, you know, just, I don't think it's imminent right now, but I think it's something to monitor from that perspective. I know we're talking just college football, but I do wonder behind the scenes if there's anything going on there as well.
And it's funny, we all know that he wants him to be his coach, but then you hear publicly he's like, ah, no, I would never bring him here. You know what I'm saying? He's a Michigan guy. I want him to stay in Michigan. Yeah, sure you do. You drop a bag right now to bring him down here.
By the way, just to give you an idea, Stephen Ross's passion for his alma mater, the business school is named after him. And then also, the last time I interviewed him, sitting down, before the interview began, before like the cameras started rolling and, you know, we turned the microphones on, his phone rang. He hadn't put it on silent yet, and it was the Michigan fight song.
No way.
His ringtone.
See, I love that, though. Well, I love seeing people that are passionate about their alma mater.
Yeah, so the point being that, like, he may say that, and I think it makes sense to a certain degree, but if for some reason Harbaugh and Michigan thing doesn't work out, then be on the lookout for that. Okay, 3:30 slot of games. Number 8 Auburn at number 17 Texas A&M. Texas A&M with a 1 loss, but to Clemson. They're at home. Auburn, as Nick pointed out last time we saw them on national TV, they were, man, that was a dramatic, exciting way to finish that game against Oregon. This is interesting because, you know, in hearing what Nick had to say, from a betting standpoint, Texas A&M is tempting to a certain degree. What do you make of this? Because I still haven't gotten a full read on Auburn and whether they're the real deal with their freshman quarterback.
And that's the hard read to get, right? You know, what is Bo Nix going to do on another big stage, but this time with an SEC defense and an SEC team that, listen, I was the happiest as a Canes fan when Jimbo Fisher left FSU. And people can say, Florida State fans, oh, he let the cupboard dry, the whole nine yards. Forget that. He was one of the best recruiters, but I also think that Jimbo Fisher is the best college football coach at halftime adjustments. Mm. When it comes down to it, they will come out in the second half, and whatever you did successfully, they would whoop your butt in the second half. I think Jimbo's going to put together a plan to expose Bo Nix and the young quarterback. You'll probably see him get benched, and they'll bring in Greenwood. That's another Jacksonville kid. That's the backup that lost out the game. But look what he's done with Kellen Mond. Now I can actually say Kellen Mond right? And say it correctly. You know, Kellen Mond came out of IMG, and I remember watching him. Oh, this 4-star kid and everything. I'm like, yeah, he looks good, but he doesn't look great. And now you watch Kellen Mond with Jimbo Fisher's tutelage at Texas A&M and how he's been recruiting. I believe he had a top 10 class last year and maybe has a top 5 class. That's going to be a team in the next couple years that you see compete with the Alabamas on the west side of the SEC.
Yeah, it just takes time for a guy like Jimbo to get his players in
there. You just got to get your guys in there. If you can get the right type of recruits, and we all know Jimbo, he recruits his butt off. And his staff, they recruit their butt off. There are so many times where he come on down to Miami and steal everybody. I'm like, come on, man, he taking this running back and that running back. Stop it. But he's going to do the same thing at Texas A&M. I'm really looking forward to this game. I think I'm going to be in the stadium watching the Canes game and a little bit on my phone watching this game because, that to me, that's going to be one of the more exciting games because I feel like those guys are really going to be flying around. And, you know, you got that Auburn front four where they say it's probably the best defensive line, either them or Utah, in the country. So it's going to be fun.
It is. That's going to be fun. One other game I'll mention, kind of honorable mention in this 3:30 slot just for – you know, the state of Florida, UCF, number 15 team in the country.
UCF Knights!
Going to Pittsburgh. And so this is one of those things. This is funny. So I know that our buddy Zach, you, are always ripping the UCF fans.
More Zach.
Well, Zach for sure.
Because I honestly like some of the pieces that they have at UCF.
Okay.
You know, the Knights, this kid they have, that thing, Dylan Gabriel, that another Hawaiian flying lefty quarterback that just looks so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, how do you keep recruiting these guys? So, and you know, old coach of mine's up there is the DC, Randy Shannon. So, but this is your historical trap game right here, right? Day game, away. It's going to be, we'll beat these teams. No big deal. It's Pitt, whatever. But if Pitt can get back to doing what they normally do, running the ball, I think this is actually going to be a closer game than many people think. Okay. And, yes, I did the whole pick Stanford last week, but that was more about fun. But this is actually a game that I looked at the beginning of the schedule that Pitt can be sneaky and, you know, catch some guys. And look what they did against Penn State. If it wasn't for a coach, coaching himself out of it,
they'd
probably win that game.
They should have won that
game.
Right. They should have beat Penn State. That would have been a top 15 win for them. They would be 2-1 now rather than 1-2. Yeah, Pitt, in a little way, in this matchup in particular, is a bit of a sleeping giant because everybody sees UCF. Everybody thought that the Stanford matchup was going to be their toughest game, and they blow them out of the water. So now it's like, okay. So I understand. I think you hit it on the head as far as analyzing this one. Bottom line, though, is the point I was going to make, like, Zach is always arguing, like, oh, well, they don't play. Who they play and all this other stuff. I was like, well, listen, like, the schedules are made pretty far in advance. They can't control what conference they're in right now. And so they schedule Stanford and Pittsburgh back-to-back weeks. That's not bad.
But they can schedule a two-for-one.
They could.
They could.
No, I'm not going to deny that. But the bottom line is, like, this is where they need to make their statements.
Yeah.
So they need to beat Stanford handily like they did last week. They need to do the same thing against Pittsburgh if they have any shot at being considered at the end of the season.
But it's not a statement win, right? You expect what Coach Shaw's done at Stanford to say, looking at the schedule, oh, this is going to be a team that they're going to be extend. But this hasn't been like a Stanford of the past. You know, they lost their left tackle, who's going to be a first-round pick, to an injury. He didn't play in the game. Their quarterback just came back from injury.
Right.
This roster is not what we've seen historically with Stanford. They weren't even ranked. Pitt's not even ranked. They're 1-2. So you say, okay, great. You beat two Power 5 teams that are 1-2. What the heck does that mean? It means nothing. Like, teams have open slots, and I get it. You can't just fill a slot, and ADs aren't running to you to knock down your door and everything like that. Schedule 2-for-1. If you're the badasses that you all say you are, go to Florida. Beat them twice. You're going to make a ton of money. Because they got to pay you to come up there. I know you lose some money away from home, and that's how you make your money, but you will make more money going to the Final Four if you beat a ranked SEC school.
Right.
So all I'm saying is, I get it. Y'all think you're bigger than everybody. You don't need to go for the two-for-ones, and we do one-on-ones. Everybody's done it. Everybody that's the little giant comes up, and the Boise State is still doing it. And if you look at their resume, it's light years ahead of UCF.
Yeah, they went to Florida State.
Listen, they've been to Florida State. I remember when they went to Georgia to open up the year. Like, they don't care. Their motto really is anyone, anywhere. I think UCF should be the same way.
Oh, I agree, right? I mean, that would be the team to follow the blueprint of.
That's it.
No pun intended with
that.
And
the thing is if you guys feel that great about yourself as far as being, we are an elite team. Well, for me, elite teams always said, we don't care who we play or where we play. Let's just get this game going. Straight up. So, if UCF fans, if you guys really believe it, go ahead. Take on anybody. Go anywhere. That's my thing. Go anywhere. And I get it. You lose some money. It's okay. You got 55,000 students there. You guys are just fine. You get enough money coming into that school. Just go out there and not say we're the giants of this and we don't need 2-for-1s. If you really want to be in the college football playoff contention, you got to schedule it. And you got to swallow your pride and do the 2-for-1s.
Well, we'll see if on the horizon that's something they consider. For right now, they've got Pittsburgh to worry about this weekend. Okay, before we get to the marquee matchup on paper this weekend, I do want to talk about a 7:30 kickoff, number 12 Texas hosting Oklahoma State. I don't know what Oklahoma State's all about. I know they've put up monster numbers so far, and I would assume this is going to be a really high-scoring game. The over-under on this one's 72.5 total points.
Oh, my God.
And Texas obviously played tough the other day against LSU,
yeah.
But, you know, I think this is going to be a better game than maybe people anticipate because Oklahoma State's 3-0, but they're unranked because they haven't played anybody yet. So this is a big statement game potentially for them, but it's happening in Austin. And I'm curious to watch this one because there are going to be a ton of points.
Oh, man, Coach Gundy, he no matter who he has in his offense, they're putting up tons of yards. They're putting up tons of points.
Do it for Mason Rudolph, right?
That's it. You know, you got two guys starting for the Steelers right now on offense, man. Do it for them boys over there. But, yeah, you're right. You know, they got, what's his name, Tylan Wallace, the wide receiver that catches everything, probably one of the best jump ball one-on-one receivers in the country. And then you got a Texas team that are coming off a loss to LSU that they thought they would go and win. So is there a little bit of we need to bounce back and not get embarrassed in a second game? So you drop to 2-2. There goes that, you know, college football. We had this, you know, hopes and going in. That's out the door then.
It is. Finally, 8 o'clock, number 7 Notre Dame at number 3 Georgia. 14.5 point line in this one. I hope this holds true because I'd like to see Georgia blow the doors off of Notre Dame.
They're going to. They're going to blow the doors off of Notre Dame. It's not even going to be close. And we see this year in and year out with Notre Dame. Notre Dame's coming in against a top five team, or they're ranked here, and all of a sudden, blown out. And we can look year by year. Last year, Clemson, blown out. 2017, played the Canes. Oh, the Canes, oh, they're their number two team. Blown out. I mean, it's just what they've done. And I can't see being any different, because one good thing that Coach Smart has done at Georgia, he's recruited at extremely high rate.
Yes.
Their offensive line has got studs across the board. Their backfield, Swift, Cook.
Dude, that Andrew Thomas kid, I saw him at SEC Media Days. That is a mountain of a man.
And it's like that across the whole entire board.
Yeah.
I mean, last year I think they had the number one offensive tackle and the number two offensive guard. I mean, and that's been year in and year out since Kirby Smart's been there. You got DeAndre Swift. You got Dalvin Cook's younger brother, James Cook, in the backfield. Like, you got studs everywhere. And the receiving core is their weak spot.
Right.
But they got the true freshman kid that they flipped from Auburn. I think his last name's Kitchens or something like that. Stud. One-handed catches left and right. And, hey, they got Lawrence Cager up there, Miami transfer. Maybe he'll do some things for them. But I just think it's going to be a classic SEC-style win. They're going to give it to Swift, 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 Cook, 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 and run it down Notre Dame's throat. And I just don't think Notre Dame's going to be able to stay with it.
I hope you're right. I mean, I can't stand Notre Dame. So I'm a Bulldogs fan this weekend, that's for sure. All right, Brian, this is going to be a fun weekend of college football. Of course, in there, we've talked about the Canes a little earlier this hour. Hopefully they take care of business against Central Michigan. We're going to come back. We're getting a lot of texts about UCF, as you can just imagine.
Oh, no.
Right? That's the way it happens.
No
right?
way.
We'll read those when we come back here on 790 The Ticket. The Ticket wants to help save dogs as we're sponsoring the second annual Raising for the Rescue's benefit concert. The big show is happening at Revolution Live tomorrow night from 6 to 11 p.m. as there's an epidemic of homeless dogs throughout South Florida, and we're raising much-needed funding for 100-plus abandoned dogs of Everglades to continue their mission. So come out to the concert on Saturday night. Great music, food trucks, a silent auction, and more, and help save the dogs. That's the second annual Raising for the Rescue's benefit concert happening at Revolution Live on Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Welcome back here, 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe in for Zaz and Amber. We're anticipating that they'll be back on Monday to recap a big weekend in the world of sports and certainly in football. We've been talking all about it, and we've got a lot of folks who are chiming in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 67974, 67974. Okay, so I brought up the UCF game, and then you were talking about the schedule and the merits of that. And so, of course, we now have a bunch of people chiming in on the text line about UCF, about the
Hurricanes. I love that they tune in, though. I love that.
People, they are pumped up, and they are very proud of the program. First one I'll read, Monroe, who have the Canes beaten?
What, in the most recent years?
I guess when you're bringing up UCF's schedule, that's what they're asking about.
Number two, Notre Dame.
That was just two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two ranked team. I know you're going to come back and say Auburn, who beat Alabama, so you guys should be the national championship, right? I get it. So I guess the Canes beat somebody, huh? Maybe not this year. Maybe not last year, but that wasn't too far ago.
Somebody else says, I don't think UCF internally thinks they can hang. They are right where they want to be, getting talked about, free publicity, and not having to prove it. They love the free pub.
No, 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 no. I think everybody in that locker room believes they can beat anybody at any time in college football. I mean, you listen to their players. They believe that.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I do believe they have great players. I think, you know, when you recruit the state of Florida, you're always going to have great athletes, you know, and they've done a great job recruiting their quarterbacks. I just think when it comes to dealing with some of the big boys as far as, like, the offensive line, SEC, if you played against the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Clemsons of the world, you know, I just think it'd be a little bit different, and I get it. You beat Auburn a couple years ago, but a depleted LSU team beat you guys as well. So I think it's more of, I get where the UCF fans are mad that they want to be in the college football playoff system, mm-hmm. and I understand that. But unfortunately, you have to schedule something harder for the committee to be like, okay, well, if I took Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Georgia, and put them in UCF's schedule, what would that look like? And if I took UCF and put it in their schedule, what would it look like? These are the things that go into it. And it sucks. It sucks that you can't get into that consideration. And it sucks because you might tell me these ADs don't want to play UCF because it's not a win-win for a big giant. I'll tell you what. They'll pay you and they'll play you. But you got to be able to willing to get a little give and take.
Right, two for one. Flexibility there.
There has to be some flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, and you might say, hey, we lose so much money. You're getting paid to do it. And if you make a college football playoff, if you play I just want you to play the in-state schools too. You know, Florida, two for one right there. Let's do some neutral sites. Whatever we can do. You know, we played UCF. We went there years ago. And I know Florida State sucks, and you guys would probably wipe them off the mat. But schedule it. I think it's better for everybody in Florida. Florida football needs to see all the schools somehow play each other once in a while. And unfortunately for you guys, you're going to have to sacrifice and do a two-for-one or, you know, just play a game. But like you guys said, you could beat anybody, anywhere. So do it. Just prove it.
One of our texters here is from our friend Frank, says they did schedule Pitt now 3 years in a row, all at Pitt. 2 years ago when North Carolina had a good team, but the game got canceled due to a hurricane. And in 2015, UCF applied for the Big 12, Texas A&M, Missouri, left, but they accepted West Virginia instead. Okay.
So hold on, they play Pitt at Pitt 2 years in a row?
I got to check that just to double check, but I believe they've played them now a couple of years in a row.
But didn't they play Pitt at home last year?
They must have. I think Pitt went on the road.
I was going to say, yeah. Because if you play Pitt twice on the road, you don't want to play somebody else on the road?
Right, yeah, that doesn't.
Yeah.
Correlate or make sense based on what we've
seen.
Because
I'm looking at their future schedule, and they've got home and homes with Louisville, Georgia Tech. I can't see the Pitt. And then looks like North Carolina did the opposite of two-for-ones. Looks like North Carolina is going to UCF twice, and North Carolina is get one home game.
Whoa.
They got North Carolina 2020 at home, 2024 at North Carolina, and 2025 home against North Carolina.
Yeah, last year they were home against Pitt.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. So it did a 1-1.
And then in 2017, taking a look, Pitt was not on the schedule.
So they did a 1-1.
Yeah, which is fair. I mean, that's the way it usually goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Rick and Davey says, guys, 2023 will be the first time under Nick Satan, that Alabama will play an actual road game against a Power 5 team, not in those bogus neutral site stadiums. Well, here's the thing. Alabama, generally, though, when those neutral site games, typically plays big-time competition. Duke.
This year, not so much.
You know, maybe not so much. Miami next year.
Played Florida State a couple years ago when they were a top 10 team.
Right.
And it just didn't go their way with, you know, DeAndre Francois getting hurt in that game. But typically they schedule Giants.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not in the business of defending Nick Saban or the Alabama football program. But also, I do think there is a lot of validity to these SEC schools looking at their regular season schedule in conference and then realizing, well, if I already have some other out-of-conference game that may be a bit of a challenge, why am I also going to add then UCF to the mix, for example, right? Like, it just – what are we setting ourselves up for failure? Part of this is you got to play the system, and you already get the benefit of the doubt by being in that conference. So if they're looking at the big picture – and this speaks more to the system than to them like backing away from playing,
yes,
UCF. But it's like, hey, if we have a strong season out of this conference, we will automatically get the benefit of the doubt in the eyes of the people who are putting together the college football playoff.
And I'll only say this. The SEC West can do that argument. I ain't saying that for the East. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it for the SEC East.
That's fair.
I'm sorry. They're not saying East. But if you look at Alabama, right, yeah, they scheduled Duke this year. Bad. Next year. In Texas, USC. 2021, Miami in Georgia. 2022, they go to Texas. 2023, they host Texas. 2024, they go to Wisconsin.
Hard to argue with that.
I'm just saying, that's, yeah, at least one marquee game. UCF, I'm waiting on you guys.
Yeah, we're waiting for those nights.
Just give me something.
Brian, we are going to wait a few minutes, and then we're going to get to our headlines to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. We've got one more hour to go. We're going to provide you live updates. We're expecting Brian Flores to address the media here shortly as well and perhaps get his comments on Josh Rosen taking over as the starting quarterback. Much more to get into. Stay tuned here on 790 The Ticket.